last few weeks, we've been talking about the blessing or that anointing causes you to think on God's level. Now, folks, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was one of the most highly educated people in his day. If you study Paul's life out, he probably had a PhD two or three times over. But I want you to know that it does not matter how much education you have in the world. If you do not have the mind of Christ, you are going to be involved and suffer some of the consequences of the world. Amen? Many people try and educate themselves to a point to where they can overcome things. I think education is very important. Please don't misunderstand me. But what I'm going to share with you this morning will change your life and it will benefit you even further. It will build on top of the natural education that you can gain inside of the universities or, you know, the local school systems or whatever it may be. But I want you to know that the information I'm going to share is information not from this world. It's not gained from the education system. It's from heaven. And it will change your life. And the more you act upon the information that I'm going to share through faith, more of heaven's type of life will begin to develop around you. Amen? Now, we are limited in the earth in our natural minds. We're limited totally. But when we have the mind of Christ, we can supersede the natural world and everything in the world. Amen? So we begin to teach and we begin to look at how this anointing, when God's anointing, heaven's anointing, comes on you and begins to become activated in your life, it causes you to see and think differently. Now see, when I was trained in high school, grade school and high school and at the local university, I went to the University of Arkansas for a couple semesters. Then I went to the University of Texas at Arlington. I was trained to think a certain way. And at that time, I was trying to develop some talents that I had on the inside of me. I pretty much knew what I was going to do with those talents. You know, I was in architecture school. I felt like that was, you know, something that I wanted to further in my life. So I was trying to get trained in that. But it wasn't until I was born again and I began to get information from heaven that I realized that information from heaven is higher than the education in the earth. Are you following me? Revelation knowledge is higher than knowledge gained at the local university. Now, we need the knowledge from the local universities and high schools and so on and so forth, but what I'm going to share with you this morning can take you to places where that education cannot. Amen? My Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and faith is a spiritual force. And that force doesn't truly get activated in your life until you have the mind of Christ, until you begin thinking differently. Now let me give us some background here. I'm going to go slow. I'm going to let the Word of God, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I'm not in any hurry. You know, I have some notes and stuff, but I think the Holy Spirit can minister this in a way that will open your eyes to some areas. You'll leave here changed. If you don't get it right now, get the CD and listen to the CD over and over, because I really believe that what we're going to share with you can take you to the next level in your life. Now, you know, having the mind of Christ, well, what do we mean by the mind of Christ? Well, let's start over there in Philippians chapter 2. We ended there last week. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and look at the word for a few minutes. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. This anointing, this blessing that God empowered man with from the foundation of the world has a purpose. It has a purpose in getting you to think differently than you think right now. Now, we have all been trained through a different ego system. Statistics in the world say that information and how you're trained between the ages of 4 and 12 make a huge impact on your life forever. So the ego system that you grew up in, the belief system that you grew up in, And believe it or not, the household that you grew up in have a large influence on how you think. Amen? So, and I think we've all experienced probably wrong thinking at one time or another, right? Amen? Well, the Bible here says in verse 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So what we're going to talk about this morning is we're going to talk about the mind of Christ, and we're going to talk about your thought life. And we're going to talk about how thoughts are important and how your thinking is very important. We're going to see that you are made or unmade by your thoughts and how you think. And you're going to, and where we're going with this in the next couple of weeks is I want you to clearly understand, I'm going to be in teaching mode here, I want you to clearly understand that what's on the inside of you and the way you're thinking currently right now is drawing your current atmosphere. So you can very clearly judge, hey, do I like what's going on around me in my life right now, or do I want to change this? Because nobody can change it for you except you. So you got to realize what's on the inside of your spirit and what's in your mind right now. Your way of thinking is drawing the circumstances and the atmosphere that you are currently living in. Now, I know that seems a little harsh, so I'm trying to be nice, and I'm going to smile more this morning, and maybe I won't be so serious, amen, because this, you kind of swallow this with water. It's kind of like a big lump of, you know, it's kind of like that biscuit without a good cup of coffee, amen. You need something to kind of wash this down, because when you start telling people, hey, they got to change the way they're thinking, pride gets involved and they think, well, why do I need to change? I mean, I've been doing fine for this long, and you know, I know things happen. Well, you know, just things happen. It's fate. You know, this happened to me and that happened to me. Well, it didn't happen by chance. I can tell you that. And the more we understand that we control our own destiny by how we think, the more we can change the atmosphere that's around us. Now, you can't control other people. I'm not talking about other people here. I'm not talking about you getting a hold of this message and going home saying, I'm going to change my husband, or I'm going to change my kids. No, that's working from the outside, you see. You've got to work from the inside out. If you change who you are, then maybe these people in your life, if they're not willing to change, they fade away. Amen. Are you following me? They begin to fade out of your life because you're moving from glory to glory. Are you with me this morning? And don't be surprised that things or people that you once knew, even before you were saved, don't think the way you think, because when you're born again, you're bought with a price. Come on. You got to understand that. And you get the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not the mind of the world. I mean, I struggled with this for the first 4 years of my Christianity. I got in the Word of God and I began to see who Christ is, and I began to take on the mind of Christ. I began to find out who I was, that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I began to see very clearly that my sin is passed away. And I believed God. I mean, I was that, I was like that young child that Jesus said had that childlike faith. I just believed God that my past was the past, and I acted like it. Amen. Boy, I got a good amen right there. I acted like I didn't have a past. Well, the people I used to hang out with that saw my past did not like that very much. They kept reminding me of who I was before I was saved. Well, the more I talked about who I was in Christ Jesus, the more they began to leave me and stay away from me. And that was hard on my flesh because, you know, you develop relationships over a long period of time. You get some soul ties with the wrong people, and it's going to hurt. But you can't change people. You got to realize all you can do is work on yourself. You can't even change your kids. You know, when your kids, once they're 18 years old, they're out there on their own. You can give them advice. You can do all kinds of stuff. You surely can't change your spouse or your brother or your sister or whatever. What you can do, though, is realize that you control your own destiny by your thought life. And it says here, we've got to put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Then we studied out. We went over there to John chapter 10, and we saw how God thought. Isn't that right? We saw that Jesus was not ashamed to say that He was the Son of God. He was not ashamed to say, I'm equal with God. I am a son and a daughter of God. I have certain rights and privileges. Amen. I am a child of God. And we begin to look at scriptures, you know, like Ephesians 5 in verse 1 and verse 2 that says that we should imitate God as dear children. Well, what's that mean? That means we've got to get up on God's level. Remember Isaiah 55? The Bible says that His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, what do we have to do? We have to leave our thinking pattern and whatever ego system that we grew up in, and we have to take on the mind of Christ. We have to understand that, hey, I've got to think on a higher level here. Because if you continue after you're born again to think like the world in the beggarly elements of the world, as Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, then you're going to live like the world, and it's going to be a miserable struggle for you because God's living on the inside of you, yet you're still living in the world, and that's going to be a struggle. Now, I know a lot of denominational churches teach, well, you know, you just sin's always going to be with you, and you're just never going to get over this thing as long as you're on the planet. That's not what the Bible says. You know, they always go back and they say, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and, you know, and He's justful and faithful to forgive you of your sins. Those are all correct statements except when you sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to live like the world. You don't have to accept the thinking of the world. You can change the way you think, and you can take on the mind of Christ and begin to live the sinless life that God planned from the foundation of the world. Amen? And what do you mean, sinless life? Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are sinless. Sin has no part in your life. When you take on the mind of Christ, you don't think about all the junk that you just thought about when you had the mind of the world. So that's where we're going. We're going into perfection. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. And let me show you a scripture the Lord showed me last night. He said, this is where I want to go. He said, you need to tell my church this is where we're supposed to be going. And I'm going to read that out of the Amplified Bible. Because many people, you know, they get born again and they're not taught these things. And you know, I'm just going to be a teacher this morning, and we're just going to let the Holy Spirit minister here. And I'm going to give you some quotes out of a book that I've read that changed my life. But go to Ephesians 4 and look at verse 11. Let's start right there. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, why did he do that, Pastor? Why did he give these offices? Well, let's keep reading here. He did that for the perfecting of the saints. Everybody say perfecting. See, you're moving into perfection. And when you have the mind of Christ on, you can think and begin to see yourself in a perfected state to where the beggarly elements of the world do not hinder you on a regular basis. You get to a point to where the circumstances in the world do not bother you or hinder you anymore. Now, I used to smoke. I used to be a chain smoker. I mean, I smoked those red Marlboro cowboy killers. And let me tell you, when I tried to quit several different times when I was a young man. I smoked for 15 years. I got saved. Then I really had a struggle. I really had a battle because I had God on the inside that didn't like that. I mean, when your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, I mean, God's going to talk to you about some things. Amen? And, you know, I went to a lot of religious leaders and asked them, what am I supposed to do? And they said, well, you're just supposed to fight and struggle and, you know, sweat blood and do all those things. And I fought and struggled and sweat blood and threw cigarettes out the window and then stopped and turned around and went back and picked them up. And, I mean, threw them in the trash and then went down the road and bought some more. I mean, I did some real goofy stuff because I didn't have the mind of Christ. Then somebody told me, well, if you had the mind of Christ, you would begin to desire the things of heaven more than you desire the things of the earth, and that'll just fade away. That works! It works! The more you concentrate on where you're going with God, the more the frivolous, beggarly elements of the world that try and hold you down in areas, they'll begin to fade away. That's why people just started dropping off in my life. I mean, people that didn't belong connected with me. Amen? Are you following me? People that were not going where I was going began to fall off. My soul, because I had soul connections with these people, amen, I had friendships with them. It hurt a little bit in my mind, in my will, in my emotions, but my spirit never felt anything. My spirit just wanted to keep going towards the perfection of God. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Look at what the Word says here. Till we all, well look, for the perfecting of the saints, verse 12 says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Men are sent to preach that you're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Why? So we can all come into the knowledge of the Son of God, who unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me read this how they amplified it. I mean, it amplifies the King James. It says this in the Amplified. It says, his intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of the ministry toward building up Christ's body in the church. Now look at verse 13 here in the Amplified. That it might develop until we all attain oneness. Everybody say oneness. See, we're teaching on the mind of Christ, and I'm beginning to teach on the thought life that you have and that I have. Why? So we can all become one in Christ, in the faith, and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. Look what else it says. That we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness and personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. You ought to be moving toward perfection. That way, and once you see the Scripture and you begin to understand the Scripture, you could tell real fast, are you in the right church? Where's my church going? Are they preaching that we're going somewhere? You know, that sin does not have to stay in your life? Or are they preaching, well, you just got to live with sin, and you know, that's why we have mourner's benches, and you can come up and get rid of your sin. You know, some of those churches, you see the same people coming back and back and back. I mean, I did that until I got the Word of God and realized, hey, I don't have to come up there and repent for the same sin that I had 2 years ago. What was I doing? I was in the world's thinking. I would listen to the devil during the week and say, yeah, sure, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but remember what you did 2 years ago? Amen. Then I had other brothers and sisters in Christ saying, yeah, you know, brother, what that divorce you went through, that's still on your record. You remember what you did to old so-and-so. You remember when you wrecked that car. Oh, you remember when you got fired at that job. Come on. That's living in the beggarly elements of the world's way of thinking. A noble and godlike character is not a thing of favor or chance. Listen to me for a few minutes. A noble and God-like character is not a thing of chance, but is a natural result of continued effort in right thinking. The effect of long-cherished association with God-like thoughts and character, and by the same process is the result of continued laboring in your thought life. You've got to take on the mind of Christ and realize, hey, if you've been trained wrong, let it go. How do we know we've been trained wrong? By knowing what's right in the Word of God. Man is made or unmade by himself. You are either made or unmade by you. Where are we going with this? I'm trying to get the body of Christ to realize that you cannot blame the world for where you're at. You can't blame your wife, your spouse, your children. You can't blame anyone but yourself, because you are the controller of your own destiny through your thought life. Amen? Are you with me? And as a matter of fact, just like a seed, when it's planted in the soil, draws everything necessary for that seed to produce the harvest that it was intended to produce, whatever thought life is going on in your mind right now, it's going to produce a harvest too. Amen? Come on. what you continually think about all the time, what's on your mind, those are seeds. Jesus taught about it all the time. He taught his disciples, don't take thought, don't do this, don't do that, don't think like that. Why? Because he knew thoughts are seeds, and when seeds get into your spirit and begin to take resident and get a root on the inside, it's going to bring forth a harvest. Amen? Now let's go over here and begin to dive into this thing. Go to Proverbs 23 and look at verse 7. Proverbs 23 and look at verse 7. We've got to put on the mind of Christ. Proverbs 23 and look at verse 7. The Bible says, for as a man thinks, or as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in your heart, so are you. However you are thinking right now, that's developing the atmosphere for your future. The atmosphere that you are experiencing right now in your life are based on the thoughts that you thought in times past. Amen? Now that word thinketh, underline that in your Bible. That word thinketh, if you study that out in the Hebrew, let me give you some Rick Renner information here. Amen? Hallelujah. That is shandar. Shandar. That's how you pronounce that in the Hebrew. That word thinketh there, it means gatekeeper. Everybody say gatekeeper. It means that you, no one else, but you are the gatekeeper of your thought life. As you guard the gate is who you are. Amen? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you guard the gate of your life, that's who you become. Amen? Are you with me? Now let's look at another scripture here. Proverbs 23. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Man is made or unmade by his thoughts. Thoughts are seeds, and seeds create a harvest. Go to Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 26. Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 26. Boy, the devil does not like this kind of teaching. I'm going to tell you that right now. He's going to try and cause distractions. He's going to do everything possible for this not to get into your spirits this morning. Amen? But we're not going to have that. We're going to see the word for what it is. Amen? Are y'all with me? Look at this. This is very interesting. I'm going real slow because I know a lot of people are going to hear this and they're going to think, well, I'm not the problem. Well, you know what? That's your first fallacy. You've got to realize that God is right in every avenue. Come on. And we are His children. We're here moving into perfection. And we've got to be smart enough and mature enough to realize maybe I've just been trained wrong. There were a lot of things when I got born again and I actually started reading the Bible, I had to eat crow in a lot of areas. Amen? I had to just take the pride that was on the inside of me and just begin to lay it aside and humble myself before the King. Amen? And allow the King to do a work on my life. Amen? And if you're willing to do that, you're willing to humble yourself. The Bible says God will exalt you in due time. Amen? Look at Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 26. So the kingdom of God is as a man cast seed into the ground. Look at this. Jesus said, this is how the kingdom works. Now Jesus at different times said, your thoughts are seeds. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you have to realize watching the gate over your heart and your mind is crucial according to Jesus. Why? Because thoughts are seeds, and when seeds get planted, there's coming a harvest. You cannot stop this process, folks. Once a seed gets on the inside of you and starts developing a root on the inside of you, it will bring forth fruit. Now, you may not see it, as we're going to see here in a minute, until the blade comes. But I'm teaching this so you'll be able to discern the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear so you can stop the wrong harvest in your life. Amen? Look at what it says. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring up and grow up, he knows not how. See, you don't know how this process works because it's a God-ordained system. The Bible in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22 says, as long as the planet exists here, write that scripture down, as long as the planet exists here, there's going to be seed time and harvest, cold and summer and winter. In other words, the seasons are going to be here. As long as the planet's here, then this process of seed time and harvest is going to work. This is not just in your garden. See, some people that aren't born again think, my God, he's talking about gardening. Well, this is a higher thought life. Amen. This is revelation from heaven. Amen. This is information that Jesus gave the church to know that whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're sowing in your life is going to bring a harvest. If you're thinking we can't, we won't, we never will, guess what? Look around and you'll see you can't, you won't, you never will. And you don't know how you got there. You don't know how this came up in your life. And the world sloughs this off. They say, oh, well, that's just circumstances. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what God's going to do. That's not what the Bible says. God tells us time and time again, I can assure you of what's going to happen in the future by controlling the seeds that you're planting in your life. He tells us this because when we stand before him, we are going to be without excuse, folks. Are you with me? When we stand before the Lord and he asks, he said, I gave you this business. I gave you this talent. I gave you this family. I gave you this person. I gave you the favor in your life. I gave you the ability to do this. What did you do with what I gave you? You can't stand there and say, well, you know, Sister So-and-so and Aunt Susie Lou and my son Johnny and all these things affected me from doing what you called me to do. No, they're not going to be around when it's just you and Jesus. Come on. At the judgment seat of Christ. They're not going to be there. And he's preaching in the end times that nothing that is hidden is going to be secret. There is nothing secret anymore. The lid is off of the Word of God, I'm telling you. You start looking across America, the lid of the treasure chest of heaven has been opened, and the Word of God is going to begin to be ministered in a way you have never seen before. Things that are hidden are going to be exposed like you have never seen before. Come on, are you with me? Heaven on earth is going to begin to grow like you have never seen before. He says, so the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep, rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knows not how. Look at verse 28. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now I want you to go over and look at verse 21. And he said unto them, now he just finished teaching on the parable of the sower, telling them, hey, this is how the Word of God is going to affect the people that you preach it to. He told us these are four types of ground. Remember, he said there's wayside ground, there's stony ground, there's thorny ground, and then there's good ground. Isn't that right? Then he say when the seed is sown on wayside ground that, you know, immediately the fowl of the air come and the devil steals that word. Didn't he say that? And then he said stony ground. You know, as soon as the seed of the Word of God is sown on stony ground, it grows up real fast, but then when pressures of the planet and your family and all these things come, they begin to say, well, who do you think you are? You think you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You think you have the mind of Christ? And those things begin to beat against you. Immediately, they fall away. And then thorny ground, he began to teach, you know, when the Word of God, having the mind of Christ, then the riches of the world began to be come up around you, amen, and choke the word out. And then he said there's good ground, amen. Are you good ground this morning? Come on, I believe you are. I believe you're good ground. I mean, you're looking at me like, come on, Pastor, give me some more information here. And I want more information. Why? Because I want to change my atmosphere too. I mean, this is a family. We are all being perfected together. Are you with me? We are all on a journey to accomplish what God has for us. Look at what it said in verse 21. It's very interesting here. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. There is nothing hid that shall not be made manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If a man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now let me just stop right there and explain what Jesus is saying. He knew in the last days that the church would begin to take the treasure chest cover and open it, and the Word of God would begin to be ministered like it's never ministered before. That's why today that Word right there can become so alive in the world, and especially in the church. There is nothing hid that is not going to come out of secrecy, folks. Don't think that you are, if you're secretly thinking or planting seeds somewhere in your life, do not think that that is not going to become manifest somewhere in the world. We know that. All you got to do is just read the headlines. Come on. I mean, all these CEOs and all these leaders and all this corruption, it may work for a time. You know, sin has a season, amen, but there's coming a time where all things are going to be exposed. Why? Because the Word of God's going to come alive in the last days like it's never been. And we're going to understand that, hey, the atmosphere that we're living in is not the result of things around us, it's the result of things inside of us. So we as the church need to understand, we got to put on the mind of Christ, begin to stop this harvest that the devil sowed into our lives when we were 4, 5, 6, and 7, or whatever it may be. Come on, are you with me? We got to stop the process of how the world has developed inside of us, because we don't want the harvest of the world. Are you with me? We don't want the harvest of the thinking of the world. It says here, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Look at verse 25. For he that hath what? Has the mind of Christ. Look at what it says here. He that has, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken, even that which he has. Now let me just quote John 10:10. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, but the devil has come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You can take this scripture and put it in the same context as John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Did you notice it said right here, from him that has not, everything shall be taken, even that which he has. You see, the devil, the system out here in this world, the world's thinking is designed to take your joy, to take your money, to take your happiness, to take your love, to give you in exchange bitterness and hate and envy and all those things. Amen? And you are the gatekeeper. Now, let me just put it in this context. The world and the world system and the prince of this world cannot gain access into your life unless you have something on the inside of you that he could grab onto. You know why Satan had no part with Jesus? There was no sin in him. He tried to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. Why? Because Jesus never sinned. As a matter of fact, he thought from the time that Jesus was nailed to the cross, I finally got this guy. That's how stupid he was. But he didn't realize that it was not the sin that Jesus created through his own life. It was your sin, sickness, and disease that he took on the cross. Amen? Isn't that right? So as we begin to see here, when we begin to think right, and we begin to realize that the only access that wrong circumstances, wrong thinking, the world has to us is what's on the inside of us. Same way with God. God cannot bring the blessing of the Lord, heaven's anointing in your life, unless you have something for him to hold on to. You've got to have the Word of God on the inside of you. You've got to have the mind of Christ for him to be able to work in your life. Yes, he loves you, but God's already done all he's going to do for you. Now, he's waiting for you to open the door, put on the inside of you the person of Jesus Christ, and allow Jesus to walk this blessed life out. Come on, are you with me? And we've got to put on the mind of Christ for that to occur. Let's look at another scripture here. Go to Luke chapter 8 and look at verse 16. Luke chapter 8 and look at verse 16. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it. In the last day, information is going to be made available, and you are going to clearly see, like Jesus said, you'll know the tree by the fruit. It's very quiet in here. That's why in our Bible school, incidentally, our second 6 weeks is starting tonight. Amen. We're teaching on the Holy Spirit and His gifts and the pursuit of excellence. But that's why Jesus taught that very simple parable that everybody thought, God, Jesus, he was way out there. No, in the last days, you're going to see where Jesus really was. Because the treasure lid of heaven is off now. You're really going to see how Jesus thought when he said, you'll know them by their fruits. A good tree produces good fruits, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. All you got to do is look at the fruit in your life and realize it's not the circumstances. See, that's the humane thing that humanity wants to do is blame someone else for their own wrong thinking. Come on, we've all been there, hadn't we? We see this thing show up in our life and we think, my Lord, it's the devil's fault. It's that fault and it's this fault. Well, the devil never gained access into your household unless you open the door. Why? Because the word says you're the gatekeeper. You got to open the door for him to even you can shut the door. When Eve was in the garden, she didn't have to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She didn't have to. As a matter of fact, it was Adam's responsibility to slap that apple or whatever it was, that fruit out of her hand. He was the gatekeeper of the garden. God gave him total authority over that garden. And you have total authority over your mind, your will, and your emotions. Pat had a word this morning. And I'm just going to summarize that, if that's okay, Pat. She said the people that are going to overcome are those people that are in the Word. They're watching Christian television. They're listening to Christian radio. They are reading Christian magazines. And those people that are not going to overcome are the people that are reading the Sunday paper, watching the 6 o'clock news, and listening to what the world says. In the last days, you will know them by their fruit. Come on, that's what Jesus said. You're going to know them by the fruit that abounds in their life. Why? Because of the thinking. Luke here, it says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sits it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret. Underline that. Nothing anymore is going to be secret. You know, sometimes we live secret lives. We have secret thoughts. We think, well, you know, I remember when I wasn't saved, old Brother Ben would be up there preaching, and I'd say to myself, that ain't going to happen. He don't know me. I would just think in my mind. The man was up there preaching. I would think these things in my mind. Well, guess what? That harvest would begin to develop in my life. And I didn't know why. I didn't know why I was broke. I didn't know why I was, you know, in a place of shame. I didn't know why I couldn't get a promotion at my job. I didn't understand. I just thought, God, life sure is hard. It's tough. No, it's all based on your thinking patterns. Making right choices. There's no luck or chance. It says here, nothing is secret anymore. Nothing's secret. When this word, and it's being ministered all over America now because the treasure lid of heaven is off. In the last days. Now see, this is how the Bible prophecy of the end time wealth transfer is going to take place. Come on. Because this message is going to be ministered with such amplification that those who have stolen from you for years will see that everybody sees what they've done. What are they going to do? Release it. That's the end time wealth transfer that's going to happen. We're not going to have to take arms and guns and go into all these wealthy landowners and business owners who've been stealing from the body of Christ. Come on. Been working you to death for years, stealing your money, stealing your pensions. Come on, it's all over the news. They're taking money from you and supporting their lifestyle. No, all we have to do is preach the Word of God. And when the Word of God becomes revealed in the earth, let me tell you something, the church will begin to rise up and see exactly what's happened. Amen? Now see, we saw a little trickle of it when Martin Luther King began to demonstrate and preach. I don't have to live like this anymore. I don't have to be treated like this. I have a dream. Come on. That we just saw a little trickle of it. And the world and the government suppressed it as much as possible, especially in the South. I mean, they suppressed that type of thinking. What was he trying to do? Get us into the right mind of Christ. Many people think, well, he's just a civil rights leader. No, he was a man of God preaching the Word of God. And people began to rally behind him when the word was preached. But what happened? The world suppressed it. Why? Because the world's a thief. They don't want the good news out. Why? It exposes who they really are. In the last days, folks, listen to me. In the last days, watch who you're associated with. Men will fall in areas you never thought they would fall. Associate yourself with the Word of God. Find out where the Word's preached. Associate yourself in those realms. Run to God, and He will be your shield and buckler. Listen to this. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known or come abroad. Those are strong words. And when we're all in the world, we don't pay attention to that. But in the last days, everybody will start paying more attention to it. All you got to do these days, let me tell you, you know, even as a pastor or a business owner, make one wrong mistake. In today's world, they'll jump on you. And with the internet, with television, and the media that we have today, the world will know about it that fast. It'll be exposed so fast. Come on, are you with me? Now the Bible is revealing itself. Nothing that's secret shall be made manifest. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whatsoever ye hath to him, or whosoever has what? The mind of Christ, to him shall be given. Whosoever has not the mind of Christ, from him shall be taken even that which he has. You don't have the life of God on the inside of you, the world will take your life. Come on, are you with me? Man is created with a free will choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and go to verse 19. Man is created. See, you have a choice in the matter here. You can either live with blessing or you can live with the curse. It's all based on your thought life. You're the gatekeeper of your own life here. I know this is not popular. I know I want to teach, you know, most people want to come in here and hear about popcorn and Halloween candy and Snicker bars. But folks, if you live on Snickers for 2 weeks, you'll dry up. Come on, are you with me? If I fed you Snickers and candy canes and popcorn every Sunday, you'd dry up. Come on. I know some of you have accelerated in your walk with God just in the last few years. I've seen it takes 20 and 30 years for some Christians to do that. Amen? Why? Because we believe the Word, don't we? Aren't we a Word church? Don't we believe what the Word says? And time is short, folks. You've got to realize this is happening right now. And time will become accelerated. Jesus said knowledge would accelerate in the last days like never before. And we've got to get ready. Oral Roberts likened to it like this. If you take an hourglass, listen to me for a minute. If you take an hourglass and you first turn it upside down, it takes a long time for the sand in that hourglass to begin to trickle through. But towards the end of the sand, it begins to do what? Accelerate very quickly, doesn't it? That's exactly what's going to happen with the Word of God in the church and out here in the world. You are going to see things accelerate faster and faster and faster. That's why now it's best that we get in the Word of God. We get under the shelter of the wings of the Most High. Amen? So look here in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Moses knew this. Moses knew God's ways. A lot of people didn't know God's ways, but Moses did. And he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death. See, Moses knew this. He says, you can choose by your thought life and how you think how you want to live. You can live in poverty and sickness and disease. You can live in the luxuries of the lust of your flesh. You can live any way you want to. You choose. You know, and I was 30 years old before I was born again. I had 30 years of yuck, yuck, yuck. And I am just beginning to have my eyes open in some area, and it's developing more of a hunger on the inside of me than it ever has before to get into the throne room of God and get at Jesus' feet. Why? Because I know what's fixing to happen. When the treasure chest is open and the information is out, nothing is secret anymore. You better be at the feet of Jesus. Amen? It says here, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. So he clearly said, you have a choice in the matter. Going over and look at Proverbs 1, look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 20. This is very interesting. Proverbs 1, look at verse 20. Most people think, well, golly, you know, I should have known this. Well, it's available for you to know right now. How about this? How about you get you get tied up in business with somebody? Come on. And then you find out after 10 years, man, this business relationship isn't going anywhere. Or the first 8 years were fine, then all of a sudden it went south. Amen. You get in a relationship or you bought a product, and all of a sudden the product's quality or whatever began to change. Well, you should have known it was coming. Why? Because we're the children of God. Amen. There ain't nothing secret to us. If we're at the throne room in the feet of Jesus, amen, he ought to be able to tell us exactly what's going on. His prophets preached through the entire Old Testament and New Testament to show us what we should expect in the last days. He said, be of good cheer because the church is going to be redeemed from it all. How are we going to do that? Because we have the mind of Christ. We know exactly what's going on. We know exactly what to do, exactly what time to do it at. Proverbs 1 and verse 20 says, wisdom cries, she utters her voice in the streets. God spoke this from the foundation of the world. Just in the last 100 years of the last 6,000 years have accelerated very quickly. Now, I'm sort of a military buff, and I love watching the military channels. As a matter of fact, I was watching it the other day and realizing, did you know right now that there are over 8,500 satellites orbiting the planet right now? 8,500, over 8,500 satellites. Did you know that these satellites are exchanging communication information about you? Did you know today, if you have a cell phone in your purse, that we can track you wherever you are at any given time? See, most people don't even know these things. But I can track you. Did you know that every phone call that you currently make right now, every voice message that you leave, and every text message that you write is being recorded somewhere? Did you know that? And all of you are thinking, oh my Lord, you wouldn't believe what I sent last week. You wouldn't believe where I was at. You see, we don't need a chip in your forehead or under your arm as long as you got that cell phone. Well, did you know now I have software just to handle stuff like this? I can just look on that computer just like that and track her. Know exactly where she's at within 10 feet. Did you know that? Things that are secret are going to be revealed. Knowledge is powerful and it is accelerating at a very fast pace. Over 8,500 satellites orbiting the planet right now. They can find you, they can hear you, they can do whatever they want with you. And when this teaching of the mind of Christ in your thought life begins to circulate, nothing is ever going to be hidden, folks. Come on. And it's working faster and faster and faster right now. So it says, wisdom cries out, she utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She utters her words. How long, look at verse 22, how long is the church, this is the thing I should insert right there, how long is the church going to sit by and be goofy? How long are we just going to let things pass and think, well, things are going to work out, you know, everything's going good. What I'm doing right now is never going to have any harvest. You know, I can think this way and then come to church on Sunday and things are going to be just fine. It ain't going to work that way. It says right here, how long are you simple ones will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, says the Lord. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you and I will make known my words unto you. But because you will say, because I have called and you have refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man reproved it. But when you have said it not my counsel and would none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity and will mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. They shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not what? Choose the fear of the Lord. Did not choose the mind of Christ. Did not understand that they control their own destiny. We reap what we sow. Let me close by going to a couple of scriptures here. Go to Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse 6. Galatians 6 and look at verse 6. Very interesting what the word says here. Galatians 6 and look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. Look at what it says here in Galatians 6 and verse 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. See, in the last days, God's not going to be mocked. See, God's been saying this from the foundation of the planet. You're going to reap what you sow. God is not going to be mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you for the word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you remind us that we control our own destiny.